One of those days, Jesus went up to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the whole night praying to God. And when he came down, he called his disciples to himself. And he chose 12 of them, whom he appointed to be apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Judas, son of James, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he went down with them and stood on a level place. And a large crowd was there of his disciples, and a great number of people from Judea and Jerusalem and from the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled by evil spirits were cured, and all of them were trying to touch him because power flowed from him and healed them all. And turning to his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, because that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to those of you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those only to whom for you expect something back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend to them, not expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? No teacher, no student is above their teacher. And all who are fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye when you can't even see the plank in your own eye? How can you say, friend, let me help you take that speck out of your eye when you fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of the other person's eye. Good trees do not produce bad fruit, and bad trees do not produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart. And evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for those of you who come to me and hear my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man who was building a house, and he dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the storm came, a flood came, and the torrent struck that house, it could not be shaken, because it was well built. But as for those of you who hear my words and who do not put them into practice, you are like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the torrent struck that house and it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us to live more fully and to enter more deeply into this, your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be our guide in doing that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, since this is likely my last sermon here, unless Bill somehow lets me preach a time or two as an unemployed bum, I decided that I couldn't do any better than to leave you with these words of Jesus. But I want to say just a little bit about them, and I'm hoping that I will say enough, but not say too much. As I was preparing to do this time, I noticed several things that I think God was wanting me to communicate to you about this passage. So first, some of the easy things, and then some of the harder things. And the first one is that this sermon, as well as the Sermon on the Mount, in my mind, are at the heart and at the core of Jesus' teaching. And one of the reasons that we know that is because he preached this right after he chose the 12 disciples. And what Jesus was doing in that would have been apparent to anybody there who had even a cursory knowledge of the history of Israel and what was going on. He picked 12 people. he was saying, here is the new Israel. Here is the new humanity that I am going to begin in this group. And then when he goes down to the plain and he preaches this sermon, and it says that he's looking at them, I get the sense that Jesus is also preaching to everybody else there and saying, see, look at these guys and see what's going to happen. And if it's not something like this, then this isn't what you were looking for. But if it is, then everything has changed. Because what Jesus asked the disciples to do in this is, and the best way that I could put it as I was going through this, is over the top. All of it is over the top. It's sowing abundantly. And learning to do that as a lifestyle, as a matter of course, as a matter of going about your daily routine. And the thing that Jesus is trying to really emphasize to them is that the whole reason for that is because that's how God works. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, let alone the confused, the hurt, the angry, the broken. And every time I come back to this, I realize how crucial it is to remember what Jesus said. To remember how impossible it is to do and yet try to do it anyway. By the power of the Spirit, to be empowered to do that. And to remember that lending to somebody I don't like, not expecting anything back, is building a strong foundation. If you can believe it. There is so much about what Jesus teaches here that is so hard. But the main reason that it's hard is because we look at the things that we see around us. I've got to have enough saved for retirement. I've got to have whatever. All the things that we're told are really a strong foundation, and we somehow think that they are more bedrock than what Jesus told us to do. And we need to remember that that's not true. That in doing these things that seem paradoxical and impossible, we are actually building the strongest foundation that we could possibly build. We are building on what is truly going to last. Because it's the kingdom. This whole thing is about living in the reality of the kingdom and not in the reality of this world or of our own kingdom or of the kingdom of somebody else's making or of the kingdom of culture, of nation, of whatever. And the last reason why I wanted to use this, partly I used it because I didn't have time to memorize the whole Sermon on the Mount. But this is its abbreviated form. But the last reason I wanted to do this is because I wanted to leave you with what is my hope and prayer for you. What I have tried to focus on doing here is prodding us and getting us and leading us in doing this. In putting Jesus' words to practice. And I'm so thankful for things like Mission Lit and for things like Feed My Starving Children and for times of prayer where we pray for people who really need to be prayed for. Because I see that happening in and through us. And as we do that, we will be a light to the world who points people to Jesus. And so my encouragement for you, my prayer for you, and my hope for you would be this, that you don't stop doing that. And that you don't let things like finances You don't let things like conflict, you don't let things like the hard work of being together and being family keep that from happening. That would be my prayer for you. When I was first told that I was going to be laid off, somebody asked me, well, what's right away? I think it was actually JJ, I can't remember. What are you going to miss most? And without even having to think about it, without hesitating, I said, the staff. And the reason for that is because this staff has been of one mind and of one heart in wanting to see that happen as well. And in leading us in trying to help make that happen as well. And so it has been an honor and a privilege to work with Bill and Kathy and Libby and JJ and Rebecca and Anna and even people like Brian who aren't here anymore in helping to make that happen. And it's been even more of an honor to do that because as I look at this, I realize that we are doing our best at trying to do this, at putting this, putting Jesus' words into practice. And as I leave, I can say completely knowing that none of us has preached anything, taught anything that isn't in line with that. And that isn't in line with what Jesus taught. And so I'm so grateful to all of you for the way that you have enfolded me, the way you have let me be part of your family. As we've said, we're not planning to just disappear. We're going to keep being part of this family until God gives us someplace else to go. It's going to take more than getting fired for us to leave this family. And so now would you let me pray for you, if you would. Lord, I thank you for this covenant church family, and I thank you for the blessing that they have been in our lives, for the way that they have helped raise Caleb and Carissa. And I thank you for the ways that they have been a blessing in this community and in this world. For the ways in which you have called them forth in doing that and empowered and equipped them and gifted them to do that. For the ways that we stumble along in doing that. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the fact that we are trying. That we are moving forward with practicing your words. And so Lord, I pray that you would establish that, that it would be a foundation that won't be shaken. And I pray that you will help us to be open and listening and to hearing what it is that you would have us do moving forward. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.